And that's what Jesus Christ did. Christ came to not only bring us back to God, not only did he reach to heaven and grab the hand of God and grab our hands, but he also grabbed our hands and reached out with those around us in reconciliation.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will encourage us with his message titled, The Lord is Singing. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Lord is Singing.
So we've been looking at the book of Zephaniah, and in the book of Zephaniah, we have seen, and I put up that chart last week, and we're not going to spend a lot of time because I went over it the last couple of weeks, but just to say, when we think of what's going to happen in the future, we see at the bottom of this chart that there is that third arrow, which is the millennium, which is a 1,000-year reign when Jesus Christ will come back to earth and rule and reign again. And so when Zephaniah talks about the Lord being with us, the Lord providing salvation, the Lord loving us, the Lord singing, he's actually talking about this 1,000-year reign when Christ comes to rule and reign on this earth. We talked about the fact that how the first 3.5 chapters in the book of Zephaniah, God is pronouncing judgment upon his people, and upon the nations around them. And then, after these 3.5 chapters of pronouncing the day of the Lord, pronouncing judgment, he then goes to say, but I'm going to love you with a love that is unparalleled. And he tells them about what it's going to be like during this 1,000-year millennial reign. So one of the things I began to think about is, you know, what does it mean when God sings? We think about a lot of things that God can do. If you go to that next slide, we think about a lot of things, a lot of emotion that the scripture tells us about God. We see in Psalm 7 and verse 11, it says that God is angry, and that God gets angry with what? He gets angry with those who are involved in wickedness. The Bible says that he is angry with the wicked every day. So we know that God expresses an emotion of anger. We see not only that, but God expresses an emotion of being pleased, of pleasure. And you may remember that powerful passage in the book of Micah that says, what does it take to please God? And the summary is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And so we see that God can be pleased. Not only can God be pleased, but God is also a jealous God. That when we give our attention and we give our allegiance to something other than him, we see that God is jealous. Now, he's not jealous in the sense of a negative jealousy, but he's jealous in the sense that, you know, he loves us and he desires for us to be in this relationship with him. So God is jealous. And then we see that God can be grieved. Whenever we lose a loved one, we know what it's like to grieve. We know what it's like to go through a time of sorrow and sadness. And so God can actually be grieved. That in the book of Genesis, when man had become so depraved that he had fallen away from God, that the Bible says that God was grieved and that it repented him that he had even created man. So God can be grieved. And so finally, we see, and this is one that we like, God can be joyful, that God rejoices. In Jeremiah 32 and verse 41, you know, it says, yea, I will rejoice over them to do good to them, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. So God can rejoice. So now my question is, if we know that he gets angry and we know that he is pleased, we know that he can be jealous, We know that God can be grieved, and we know that God can be joyful. Our text this morning tells us that God sings. So my question is, what makes God sing? What makes God tune up the vocal cords and just begin to sing out a melody? And I want to share with you four things this morning, I think, that make God sing. Now, we could go on ad infinitum with this, but let me just summarize it into four things. And so what I've done is, since we are talking about the thousand-year reign, the millennium, and so God, we know that he's going to be singing over his people during the millennium. And I would like to ask if maybe if we can borrow something from the millennium and begin to look at if there are certain things that causes God's heart to sing during the millennium, what might we be able to do now to make his heart sing? And so I've looked at four things this morning. And the first thing is, what makes God's heart sing? When there is peace between his people. When God's people are at peace with one another. During the millennium, I've put two passages of scripture in here, and let's look at this first one. They should be in your notes. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. And it says here, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And look at this. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Swords was a weapon of warfare. The plowshare was a weapon or an instrument of agriculture. And they shall beat their spears, things that they fight with, into pruning hooks that actually prune the crops. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What makes God's heart sing? When he looks out and he sees the people of the earth at peace. You know, I was reading something and it was very interesting. And I actually put it in one of my books on Bible prophecy. And listen to this. Since 3600 B.C., the world has only known 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of property destroyed is equal to a golden belt around the world, 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. Since 650 B.C., there have also been 1,656 armed races, and only 16 of which have not ended in war. Furthermore, there have been over 8,000 peace treaties that have been signed. And you don't need to be a scholar to answer this question that I'm getting ready to ask you. Out of the 8,000 peace treaties that were signed, how many of them were broken? All of them. All of them. So the world is not at peace. And as we look at this time when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to promote a peace that is unparalleled in all of the history of mankind. Look at that next verse that I have there, coming from Isaiah 9. This is one that we all know. For unto us a child is born. And so again, this takes us back to the first birth. This takes us back to when he came as a babe in a manger. But now look, as we move on from here, what happens? And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now, let's be honest. The first time he came, the government wasn't on his shoulders. You know, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The government was not upon his shoulders the first time. So when is the government going to be upon his shoulders? During that thousand-year reign. And his name shall be called Wonderful. We call him that now. But he's not going to know the full reality of that name until the thousand-year reign. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. The world is looking for peace. The world is trying to promote peace, but we will not know true peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Of his government, and I like this, and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forevermore. Peace. Christ came to give us peace. I heard the story about a soldier who was fighting for his country. And in the midst of the fight, his whole family was killed. And he got mad at God. And he went out on a mountainside one night where you could hear the echo. And he, with anger in his heart, said, "Glory to God in the highest." He wasn't saying it because he was worshiping God. He was saying it because he was mad. And the echo went out. Glory, 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 glory. And then he said, "And peace on earth." And the echo went out. Peace, 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 peace. For him. For him. Peace was just an echo. What about you this morning, my friend? Is there turmoil in your spirit? Are you at odds with family members? Are you at odds with someone else? This is the reason why Jesus came. The reason he came was to give us peace. And I wonder this morning how many people that might be among us that peace is only echo. God is not singing. He's not singing if peace is just an echo in your life. Let peace become real. Let Jesus live in your heart and bring a peace that passes all understanding.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. It's good to be with you tonight. As I come, I want to share a couple of things with you. First of all, I just want to say that the mission of the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry is to share biblical truths that encourage and equip the saints of God. And we hope also that it would reach the unsaved in a special way. As you know, earlier this year, we came to you with a special need. We thank all of you who have responded to our recent appeal. But we just want to let you know that we still have a shortfall regarding our financial obligation. As 2016 draws to a close, we pray that you would help us in one of the following ways. First of all, everyone can pray. You can pray for the financial needs that we have at this present time. Also, you can make a one-time tax-deductible gift to support our radio ministry. And as we always say, no amount is too small. And then I would like to encourage you, if you're able and God leads, to become a regular donor by contributing a monthly gift. Those who commit to a regular monthly gift, a donation of at least $25 a month, you will receive a copy of my book, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. And this book deals with spiritual warfare and how you can engage successfully, victoriously in spiritual warfare. Let me assure you, radio friends, that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. For the ways to donate, you can go to www.anchoredinjesus.org and hit the Donate Now button, or you can call 877-531-5060. Let me thank you in advance for any help that you can give us. We are trusting the Lord for his provision, and we are asking you to seek the Lord as to how you can participate. Thank you for all that you've done. To God be the glory.
We will return now to the message already in progress.
Husband and wife were going through a bitter divorce, and they were just at odds with one another, and they were angry with one another. And they had a little four-year-old boy, and it just tore his heart apart when he saw how they bickered with one another. And there was one day as they were standing together, getting ready to go off in a rage against each other, that the little boy took the hand of his mother, and the little boy took the hand of his father, and he brought them together again. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Christ came to not only bring us back to God, not only did he reach to heaven and grab the hand of God and grab our hands, but he also grabbed our hands and reached out with those around us in reconciliation and in peace. What makes God sing? What makes God sing? God sings when his people are at peace. The next thing we see when we ask the question, what makes God sing? God sing when there is holiness within his people. Man, God just sings out a melody so sweet and so clear when he looks down and he sees his people living a holy life. When he looks down and sees his people trying to be what he has called them to be. Be ye therefore holy, even as I am holy. Look at the scripture, and we see here another millennial passage, another passage that's speaking specifically about the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And it says here in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10, and a highway, oh, hallelujah, a highway shall be there. Where? In that millennial kingdom, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall err there not in. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. It shall not be found there. But look at this. Only the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. What makes God sing? God sings when he sees people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're doing the best that they can, not in their own power and strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. He sees them trying to live right and try to do right. He sees them trying to live a holy life, that God just fires up the choir in heaven and just begins to belt out a melody when he sees people living holy lives. Now, I did a whole series on holiness, and when we think about holiness, what is holiness? Holiness is not some emolious sanctification where you can't be around people and you got to be separated from everybody else. Holiness is not when you get on the ground and call on your hands and knees over thousands of miles of glass and rocks to be holy as some of the monks used to do. Holiness is very simple. Separation from sin and dedication to God. That's all holiness is. And when God sees us living a holy life, he rejoices. During that series on holiness, there was an illustration that I gave, and it just stuck in my mind. And the illustration was on an animal called the ermine. And the ermine was a little furry, had a fur of white, pure white, almost as pure as the driven snow. And one of the things that he would do to protect his coat from getting soil, he would not go places that were dirty. And the fur from this animal was so precious that hunters wanted it. And so the only way they could get this ermine, because he would, as the hunters would begin to hunt him and he would sense it, he would go back into his hole. And one of the things that they would do at the entrance of his hole is that they would put grit and dirt and grime at the entrance of his hole. And so when the hunters began to hunt the ermine and he went back and saw the dirt, in at the entrance of his hole, he would not go in. And the hunters would trap him and kill him. And the illustration was that he wanted to keep his fur pure. And he held purity. Watch this now. Watch this now. He held purity above life itself. How about you, my brothers and sisters? You desire holiness in your life. I didn't say perfection. I didn't say that you don't sin. I didn't say that. But I'm just saying, are you striving to live a life that's pleasing to God? Are you striving to live a life that is pure in your thoughts, your conversation, and your character? What makes God sing? God sings when his people are living a holy life. What makes God sing? Number three, joy coming out of his people. When God sees his people with joyful hearts, this causes him to rejoice. Now, we know that whenever we go through difficult times and hard times, that God is with us and that he comes alongside to strengthen and we know that. But do you realize that when you have a joyful heart, think about that. When your heart is joyful, God's heart is joyful. Have you ever did something that made another person happy? And when you did something that made them happy, remember how you felt when you saw that it was something that, I mean, and let's be honest, why do many of us give Christmas gifts? You know, we give them, why? Because we want to what? Make other people happy. You know, we want to see the joy and we want to see the delight on their face whenever they rip through that present and open it up and say, boy, this is what I wanted, a fathead. They put it up on their wall, right? One little boy, he saw a fathead on his wall. He said, my jaw just almost dropped to the floor. He was happy. Now, let me ask you a question. If we get happy because we have made somebody happy, don't you think that God gets happy when he sees joy coming out of his people? Notice during the millennium, three things. All in the book of Isaiah. We can turn there. All in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. The first thing that we see is that this joy will be exhilarating. It will be an exhilarating joy. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. To appoint unto those who mourn in Zion. Now again, this is talking about that 1,000-year reign of Christ. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Notice what it says there. He will give them the what? The oil of what? The oil of joy. What did oil symbolize in the Bible? Well, one of the things it symbolized was the Holy Spirit, but the next thing that it symbolized was joyfulness, exhilaration. And God is going to give us during that time an exhilarating joy, a joy that just leaps and bounds along, an excitement about him and what he's done. We see in Isaiah 51 and verse 11 that this joy will not only be exhilarating, but this joy will also be unending. Isaiah 51 and verse 11, it will be an unending joy. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Lord is Singing. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Lord is Singing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord is Singing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord is Singing. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored five books For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.